Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It's my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges with you and then bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries. If you want to look us up on the internet or re-listen to this program, you can find us at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This morning, I want to paint for you the big picture of God and His work in the world. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Well, I always struggled with this verse. The phrase "living sacrifice" conjures unpleasant images for me. I've read the Old Testament, and I read about how the lambs were sacrificed, and they didn't fare so well. And now, Paul, you want me to be a living sacrifice? Do you ever wrestle with scriptures like this? I do. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? What does it look like in life? How do we get our heads and our hearts around this? Well, this morning I'm going to invite you to come on a journey with me. I want to tell you the grand story of God using the book of the Bible called Romans. Before we go on that journey, let's listen to Matt Redman, Friend of Sinners.
Jesus,
I
love you.
The book of Romans is full of intricate logic. Chapter for chapter, it has more theology than any other book of the Bible. The Apostle Paul shares God's great plan. But when we looked to our verse in chapter 12, we come to this transition point in the book. It's transitioning from theology to how do we live out this theology. That is why chapter 12 starts with the word therefore. It's in reference to all that has gone on before. The verse starts to make a whole lot more sense when you see what has gone on before. Preaching through the first 12 chapters of the most theologically dense book in the Bible could take a year, but I'm going to walk you through it in 15 minutes. So here it goes. Paul starts out by saying, "Hi, church in Rome. We haven't met, but I've heard of your faith, and you've no doubt heard of me. It is one of my great desires to come to you that we can mutually encourage each other. I feel like God has called me to minister to people like you, and I really do want to come to Rome to preach the good news. For the good news of Jesus is the power of God at work for saving everyone who believes. It is through faith in Jesus that we are made right with God and made right in His sight. You see, ever since the creation of the world, the truth about God has been obvious. If He's big enough to create what is, and powerful enough to bring into being what is, then it is obvious that He should be worshipped. But people chose not to worship Him. Instead, they made up gods of their own choosing. They claimed that they were wise, but they did things that totally degraded themselves and those around them. And they made idols in the forms of animals and birds, and they worshiped them. All this made God angry. And because they failed to acknowledge God, God abandoned them to their own foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, breaking their promises. They are heartless, and they have no mercy." Chapter 2 goes on to say, "Now, I know, Roman church, that it's easy to point to all the people around you and say, look at how bad those people are. But the reality is that you and I, well, we're just as bad. We judge others, but our own lives condemn us. And the reality is that God is not partial. Yes, He will judge the evildoers because they do evil, but He will also judge us. There are people who never knew God and never knew His ways, but they should have honored God because of all they have seen around them. Then there are people like us who have known God's ways, but we have failed to follow them. And here's the reality. There's no one who is righteous. And when I say no one, I mean no one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is your reality. That is my reality. And the people who are doing horrible things, that's their reality too. Yet here is the thing. God is kind. And even though we have all done bad things, He declares us righteous. He does this through Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sin. You see, Jesus was a sacrifice for our sin. People are made right with God when they believe in Jesus' sacrifice. When God didn't punish those who had sinned in past times, He was looking forward to this time when Jesus would pay for their sins too. See, none of us can boast that we have somehow earned righteousness or that we are accepted by God because of our goodness. Our forgiveness is based on faith in what Christ has done. Chapter 4 goes on to say, "Now, if you were to go back into the Old Testament and look at Abraham, you would see that he believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Belief has always been God's way to righteousness, not earning. See, God made Abraham a promise for a son, and Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise, and God counted him as righteous." Now, that story wasn't just recorded for Abraham's benefit. Chapter 4 says, "It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in Him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. Now, through faith, we have been made right with God. And now we are at peace with God because of what Jesus has done. And here is what I want you to know. you stand in a place of privilege. For even though you will run into troubles in this world, God has brought you hope, and God has given you His Holy Spirit. And the best thing of all, what has happened is that God has shown us that He loves us. But God showed us His great love by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. We are not condemned by God. In fact, our friendship with God has been restored. We have become friends of God. As you know, it was through Adam that sin came into the world, and it infected us all. But now Jesus has come into the world, and through His death has brought life to many. God gave His law so that people would understand just how sinful they were. And when they saw how God forgives through Jesus, they can see how gracious God is. Now, this does not mean that we should go on sinning. Of course not. In fact, your old selves that drove you towards sin was buried through Christ. That's what baptism symbolizes. And when Jesus rose from the dead, He broke the power of sin. Therefore, do not let sin control the way you live. Don't use your body to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves to God and use your body to bring glory to God. Sin is no longer your master. Chapter 7 goes on to say, you do understand that if two people are bound together in marriage and one person dies, then the two are no longer married. You were married to sin, but you died with Christ, and you have no obligation to sin. But here's the trouble. We as people have something in us that when we hear we're not supposed to do something, it kind of makes us want to do it. And when I want to do good, but I find that I don't, and I don't want to do what is wrong, but I find that I do it. And so I end up doing what I don't want to do, and that makes me miserable. So what do I do with the fact that I'm miserable? Who will free me from this life? Well, here's what I want you to know. Chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. I want you to know that you have been given the Spirit of God who can free you from the power of sin. Listen, the law couldn't do it, but the Holy Spirit is doing it. Now here is what happens. You need to let yourself be led by the Holy Spirit. Think about He wants and what He wants, and don't spend time thinking about sinful things. At the core of who you are is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who lives in you, and He will give you real life. He does so much more than that. He leads you. He lets you know that you are God's child. He gets to call you His child, and you can call Him your father, your daddy. He does what it takes to allow you to go to heaven. Now, I know, Romans, that life is rough right now. And the reality is that creation groans right now because things are not as they were meant to be. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has given so much more than you could ever imagine. And He has been given that you could have a foretaste of the future. So right now, Jesus is with you and He is interceding for you. He is at work in your life. Chapter 8 says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not even spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for His own? No one, for God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? Well, no one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day and are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. You know, it used to be that Israel was thought of as God's chosen people, and that they were. God revealed Himself to them. He gave them His word. And God still has a special place in His heart for the Jewish people. But what I want you to know is that salvation is now open to everyone. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. See, God's no respecter of person. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Can you see God's plan? Everything comes from Him and exists by His power and is intended for His glory. But He has called you into a relationship with Himself. He loves you. He sacrificed His Son for you. He made a way for you. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Can you see what the therefore means? In view of God's grand plan, He invites you to come into present your bodies as a living sacrifice. When it says it's your true and proper worship, the Greek there is the word where we get our word logic from. In light of everything you've heard, in light of all that God has done for you, it's just logical, it's just reasonable to present your body as a living sacrifice. For He has forgiven you, and He continues to forgive you. In light of what He has given you, in light of His great mercy, it's only logical, it only makes sense for you to give yourself back to Him. Well, as we reflect on that, let's listen to Third Day and their song, Saved.
Well, I was blinded by the devil, born already ruined, stone cold dead as I stepped out of the womb. By His grace I have been touched, by His word I have been healed, by His hand I've been delivered, by His spirit I've been sealed. Now I'm saved by the blood. I'm so glad.
Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The words used to offer our bodies or to present your bodies means to come and stand before. Basically, you are coming to stand before the King of Kings, and we say, here I am, Lord. I'm putting myself at your disposal. That is the picture in this verse. It's not that we're putting ourselves on an altar. There's no altar to climb on top of here. We're saying, Lord, I'm at your disposal. In view of all that God has done for us, it only makes sense that we would dedicate our lives to him. Maybe you have never come to Christ and found forgiveness for your sins. Maybe you're listening to this and you've heard the grand story of God and you know that God and you are not friends. You know that you've been separated by the stuff that's gone on in your past. You know that there is stuff that you just need to deal with and your relationship with God is broken. I want you to know that God has made a way through his son so that you can have your relationship restored, that you can know him and call him friend. The way you do that is simply coming and saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I recognize that I have broken God's laws, but I want to be a friend of God. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I'm going to follow you. If you pray a simple prayer like that, God has a way of coming into your life by his Holy Spirit. And he makes you his child. He adopts you into his family. He allows you to know who he is. He allows you to have power to live out the Christian life. I want to encourage you to pray a prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I choose to follow you. That is for you to do today. Maybe you've been walking with God for a while, and you've invited him into your life, but it's been a while since you said, Lord, I'm at your disposal. In view of all that you have done for me, I want to live my life completely for you. In praying a prayer like that, you're invite God to take you on this grand adventure in living for him and for doing his will. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I ask that for each person who doesn't know you, that they would hear your invitation. Come and be reconciled to God. Come to God. So, Lord, I ask that even now that they would open their heart and ask for your forgiveness and invite you into their lives and choose to follow you. And, Lord, for those people who don't know you, I ask that you would just give them a sense of how much you care about them. And for those that do know you, I pray that they would put themselves at your disposal. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners. Thank you for your words of encouragement, and we appreciate that you keep us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. As you probably know, this program goes out over the Ottawa area, and it also goes out internationally over the internet. And we appreciate your support in making Christ known over this area. So if you can help us do that, we would appreciate that. You can make checks out to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. If you could go to the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca, you can also follow us on Twitter or our blog. Alan Churchill, who is the founding pastor of this ministry, is writing a monthly devotional. Alan is well known for his spiritual insight. And if you would like to receive this devotional, go to our website and sign up for it. And I know that God will bless you through his ministry. Well, it has been a pleasure spending this morning with you. My name is Brent Russett. You can follow me on Twitter at Brent Russett. My prayer is that you may know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. Let's go out from this program with Michael W. Smith. I give you my heart.
This is my desire to all. My heart, I worship you.
desire.
This is my desire.
Come on, let's go.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.